We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you be with us now and guide us as we meditate upon an extremely precious section of the Word which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. I pray that you open the meaning of Scripture to us as only you can do and reveal the treasures which are hidden in it. And strengthen our faith in our Savior as we go in grace and knowledge of Him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 10, verses 9 through 23, the Spirit at work. We have here one of the most amazing miracles in all of Scripture, and it's something that you and I have profited by and really give thanksgiving for. The context is always important, and that's why we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. So what is the context? The Jews have rejected Jesus. His blood be upon us and upon our children. We have no king but Caesar. So now the gospel is spread to the Gentiles. The spotlight here is zeroing in on Cornelius, the Roman centurion, who feared God in all his house. He did good works, and he prayed often. An angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and told him to send men to Joppa and find Simon Peter. He will tell you what to do. Here we have a problem, and it is a big one. Peter considered the Gentiles to be unclean. He had nothing to do with them. And now Cornelius, the centurion, is sending men to search out Simon Peter. And the future of the church is at stake here. So in obedience to the Lord, on the next day, Cornelius the centurion sent three men to Joppa to find Peter. This is not going to be a pleasant encounter. At least it would seem that way. So on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. In our terminology, it would be 12 noon. So now the three men are approaching Joppa. And that's where Peter's living right now. They're approaching the city. Notice the time reference. They're approaching the city about the sixth hour, 12 o'clock noon in our time. The minutes and seconds are ticking away. And unless there's a drastic change take place, this is not going to be a pleasant meeting between the three men and Simon Peter. And now we watch the Holy Spirit at work. Could you give me some water? So Peter went up upon the housetop to pray. This is 12 noon, and he's going up on the housetop. This is the roof of Simon the Tanner. Remember that? He came into being a little bit before this. And the fact that Peter is going up on the housetop to pray didn't just happen. Verse 10 says, he became very hungry. Remember that. It doesn't say he became hungry. It says he became very hungry. Men will do a great deal for a little bit of food. And when they're very hungry, they'll eat a lot of things that wouldn't be eaten unless they were very, very hungry. So Peter became very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. So now there's a little bit of delay in things. And remember, these other three men sent by Cornelius are approaching Peter very, very quickly. And he doesn't like Gentiles. So while they were ready, there's a time reference here, while they made ready, the three visitors are getting closer and closer. We're talking about minutes or maybe even seconds here. Timing. And saw Peter saw the heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to earth. A certain vessel. There was nothing else like this. This kind of a vision had never been seen before. And it was descending upon Peter. The Holy Spirit often works one-on-one. In fact, I believe every conversion is really one-on-one. It's the Holy Spirit and the elect children of God, the members of the very small remnant. So it was great. It was a great sheet knit at the four corners. Four is the number of the world: north, south, east, west. So this sheet represented the whole world, and it came down to earth. So here's a sheet that started out in heaven and descended down to the earth. And it descends to Peter. What was in the sheet? Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Really, representation of the whole creation. And among them, especially wild beasts and creeping things. And they're all in this sheet, and it descends from heaven down to earth to Peter. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now remember, Peter is not only hungry, he is very hungry. And he's invited to rise and eat. We would think he would have grabbed the opportunity. He's very hungry. What does he do? But Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Lord, capital L. Why not? You're very hungry. Here are these animals. Why don't you kill them and eat them? "Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." More of this in a few minutes. But you got to give credit to Peter for this. I mean, he's very hungry, but he's not going to do something that goes against what he's been taught. There are unclean animals, and the Jews were not supposed to eat unclean animals, and Peter wasn't going to do it even though he was very hungry. That's not bad. So then the voice spake unto him the second time. More on this in a few minutes. But there came the second time, and this is what it said to Peter. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. This was done three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. Peter had a lesson to learn here. It was a very important lesson, and he had to learn it now. Timing. It's got to be now, Peter. What I have called clean, don't you call unclean. And so then the vessel was... This was done three times. Numbers in Scripture. In Scripture, you know that the number three often means the resurrection. It indicates the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is so very important. If he didn't rise from the dead, then that means that the sacrifice that he offered was not acceptable. And that would mean that you and I are still in our sins and we're going to go to hell when we die. That's what that would mean. But the Heavenly Father accepted the sacrifice because it was a perfect one. It was offered by the perfect Son of God. And the Heavenly Father raised him from the dead to show that the sacrifice was good. So there is something about the resurrection of Jesus that makes the unclean animals clean. A drastic change took place here. The drastic change had started before when Adam and Eve rebelled against God and fell into sin, and the whole world was put under a curse. And that meant the land and the animal creation too. And at that time, some of the animals became unclean. Why did they become unclean? They became unclean because Adam and Eve, especially Adam, rebelled against God, and Adam was a representative of the whole creation. When he fell, the whole creation fell. That's representation. That's when this started happening. So Peter, remember, he's very hungry, and he's trying to figure, what did this vision mean? What does it mean? Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, here's something important. Behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made entry inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, had lodged there. This is a key turning point in the history of the New Testament church, what we call the New Testament church. This is the key that's going to unlock the door to let the Gentiles in. And Cornelius is a big part of it. And Simon Peter is a big part of it. And Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter was a Jew, and he hated Gentiles. Now what? So, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, the Holy Spirit enters the picture. And this is the thing that makes all the difference. It made all the difference for each one of us when the Holy Spirit entered the picture and gave us a faith in Jesus Christ. And that was purely the Holy Spirit doing this, and he works through the Word, and this is what he did for you and for me, one-on-one, because we were one of the very small number of elect, the very small remnant, the one that were chosen by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit before the world was created. And it is impossible that one of the elect is going to be lost, even one of them. The Holy Spirit is going to search all of them out and bring them to Jesus Christ, and he's not going to miss any of them. And this is what's important here. There's never been a more important piece in history for the Gentiles. So the lesson here is, and Peter learned this now. What a change in him. If the Holy Spirit doesn't open the meaning of things to us, we don't get it. It's that important. The work of the Holy Spirit is just as important as the work of the Father who chose us, the Son who died for us, and now the Holy Spirit who brings us home. Equal importance. So, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius. Now remember, Peter's very hungry, but he's not getting anything to eat yet. There's something more important. So he comes down to Cornelius and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye speak. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" So Peter's starting to figure things out here a little bit by the grace of God. And remember, Peter's still very hungry, but this is more important. "And they said, Cornelius the centurion," oh, Peter doesn't like centurions, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God." You couldn't say that about the Pharisees, or the Sadducees, or the elders, or the chief priests. They didn't fear God. But Cornelius the centurion did. In a good report among all the nations of the Jews, he's been very beneficial to the Jewish people. He was warned. Oh, that's interesting. He was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee to his house, and to hear the words of thee. Well, so this was a warning to the centurion also. There are always warnings that go out to God's elect. The scripture is filled with warnings for us. And we take heed to these warnings. The elect child of God do. These warnings are for our own good. And it was for the centurion's good too, either. I'm not so sure how eager he was to send for Peter. You know, Peter was pretty well known. There's a saying, if you got a big mouth, you've been identified. And Peter has been identified, and it's probably well known that Peter sliced the servant, her ear off the high priest's servant out in Gethsemane. Probably pretty well known. But Cornelius obeyed. And so Peter's obeying. So you've got two people here that are by all odds at enmity each other. And they're obeying God and coming together. Warned. By the way, many of the modern translations do not translate the word warned here. Another indication of something. So this was a test for the centurion here also. His soul was on the line. He had to obey. Same thing with Peter. Okay, so then called he them in and lodged them. Now Peter is inviting these Gentiles to come into his house where he's living now, of house of Simon the Tanner, and stay the night. And they had a meal together. This is a miracle. a tremendous miracle. An hour ago, 5 minutes ago, Peter wouldn't have done this. He would not have done it. See the power of the Holy Spirit at work here and the control of things that happen, the timing of God. Timing of God is so important. So he called them in and lodged them, and on the morrow, Peter went away with them. He's going to meet with the centurion. And certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So this is going to be continued. But I'd like to mention one thing here that to me is very important. We look back at the early chapters of Genesis. And isn't it amazing how often throughout the whole New Testament things get back to the book of Genesis? And here we get back to Genesis chapter 1 again. And God created everything out of nothing. And he did it in a period of 6 literal days. And it was evening and it was morning, day number 1. Evening and morning, day number 2. Evening and morning, day number... What is so hard to understand about this? We don't know how he did it, but we know he did it. Kindergartens can understand this. It was a 6-day week. And at the end of the 6-day week, God surveyed everything that he had made. Everything. And everything was very good. And then something happened. Mysteriously, the serpent enters the picture. And you know the rest of the story. So all things originally were very good, but during the curse, a dramatic change took place. And it affected the whole creation. The whole creation. And because of the curse, some animals became unclean. And it wasn't anything they did wrong. It happened because Adam, the representative of the whole creation, rebelled against God. And there were repercussions for this. And one of the repercussions is that now you had animals that were killers. Lions would kill lambs. Leopards would kill. A bunch of animals would kill. A lot of them were unclean. They were under the curse. And the Jewish people were not supposed to have any association with unclean animals. But now, all of a sudden, the curse has been lifted. All of a sudden, the curse has been lifted. And the unclean animals aren't unclean anymore. What made the difference? The difference was made in the 3 hours of darkness on the cross, when the Son of God cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was taking the sins of the world on himself. And the Father took the punishment out on his Son for every sin that ever was, will be, or had been committed. So the sins are covered with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And the curse that came onto the earth because of the disobedience of Adam, now the curse has been removed for the second Adam, the great Adam, Jesus Christ. The unclean animals are now clean. There might possibly be one exception, and that would be the serpent. I have a feeling that's an exception. So anyway, I'm going to close this sermon by reading the beautiful words of Romans chapter 8, which sums this whole thing up so beautifully. beginning at verse 18. Romans 8, beginning at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the animal creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for the day when Jesus Christ comes back in all of his glory and raises the dead, and his elect children of God are going to have glorified bodies like his. That's what the animal creation is waiting for. We would not know that unless the Holy Spirit told us. This is an amazing thing. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, like Adam was. He disobeyed God, and he knew what he was doing. And he made that decision. The animals were subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In hope. Well, what kind of hope do the animals have? Well, here's what they have. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And I think this is so important, especially for little children. You know, it doesn't take very long for little children to realize that there's sin in the world and that death is an enemy. And it usually happens when one of their pets dies. And they should be told, you're going to get your pet back again. Death is not the end of anything for any of the creation. There's a better day coming. And the animals are going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And not only that, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. And if you walk through the woods, if you've got eyes that can see, you should be able to see the trees groaning and the land groaning and the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. These are birth pain terms. Groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. They're waiting for something. And not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We've got a little bit of the Spirit. First fruits we've got. We're going to get the whole Spirit later on. Right now it's first fruits. And we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. These are some of the most precious words in all Scripture, and a good reason why we should be thankful.